Amen. If you would open your Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7 will begin in verse 40. We'll read through the rest of the chapter of John 7. If you found your place in God's Word, if you would stand out of the honor of the reading of God's Word. John 7, beginning in verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the Scripture said that Christ comes of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to him, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, "Never man spoke like this man." Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who know not the law are cursed." Nicodemus says to them, he that came to Jesus by night being one of them, "Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he does?" They answered and said unto him, "Are you also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet." And every man went to his own house. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit and ask for his presence here today to guide us into all truth, to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Father, turn our hearts to you. Turn our hearts to your word. Speak, Lord, as only your Spirit can. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're resuming our study in John. I appreciate the men that were filling in for me last weekend, and appreciate y'all's prayers as well for Lydia and baby Luke. I did not do much, but I appreciate y'all's prayers for me as well. I just love being y'all's pastor and love it and appreciate all the people coming by and the phone calls and texts and everything as well. Here in John 7, Jesus has been teaching at the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's just concluded his teaching, and now people are trying to figure out what to make of Jesus' teachings. And we find here that there is a group of people that believe this has got to be the Messiah. And then there's a group of people who believe this cannot be the Messiah, and he cannot be the Messiah because he violates Scripture. And that is the Scriptures. If you were to read the Scriptures, this is their argument, that the Messiah has to come from Bethlehem. And if you read Scripture, no prophet comes from Galilee, and Jesus comes from Galilee. So there's this argument going back and forth. Okay? Then some soldiers have been sent by the Pharisees to arrest Jesus. And they come back empty-handed. And the soldiers are asked by the Pharisees, "What's the deal? Why'd you come back empty-handed?" And they respond, "Have you ever heard this guy teach? We have never, ever heard someone teach like this." And the Pharisees look at them and say, "Are you deceived also? Have any of us believed in him?" And then, this is what they say, and I want you to remember this. They say, "These people who do not know the law are cursed." I want you to remember that phrase, because that phrase is true. People that do not know God's law are not right with him. Okay? They said this, that these people who are believing in Jesus, he said, they are cursed. They're not right with God because they don't know the Bible. Nicodemus comes and says, "Well, but doesn't the Bible say that you don't condemn someone without a trial? Doesn't the Bible say you have to go to someone when you have a problem with them? Doesn't the Bible say that you should hear somebody before you condemn them?" And they say, "Well, we don't have to follow what the Bible says because the Bible says no prophet comes from Galilee." We don't have to follow what the Bible says because what the Bible says. Think about that for a little bit. And that's the end of it. And the very ironic thing is there's an agreement here, and the one thing that all of these people in this passage agree on is that the Scriptures says that no prophet comes from Galilee. That's the one thing they agree on. Now, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I love the Word of God because it's so applicable today. It is so applicable today as much as it was 2,000 years ago when these events took place. And so I want to look through this. I want to look at four different things from this passage of Scripture. And the first one that I see is that there's always going to be disagreements about Jesus Christ and what He taught until every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I say that because I see so many people who refuse to really make a decision concerning Jesus Christ and His teachings until everybody else figures it out. How many of you have ever heard that? Well, when the Baptists and the Presbyterians can work out their problems, then I might believe about with Jesus and all that. I've heard that many times. But that's a cop-out. Okay, that's being a sheep. What that's saying is, I will only follow the majority. I will not think for myself. I will not take the teachings of Jesus Christ. I will not look at Him, and I will not study it for myself. I'll just wait until you figure it out, and when you figure it out, come back and tell me what I need to believe. That's what's taking place here. But you know, that describes so many people. People who do not study the Word of God for themselves. People who use cop-outs. And they say, you know what, I'm going to wait till when our pastor figures it out and preaches on it, then I'll decide what I think about it. Or you know what, we'll get a committee, you know, the way Baptists do things. We need to get a committee and let the committee look at it. And when the committee comes back on what the Bible says, then we'll go that way. Why not study it for yourself? So many people sit there and they go, well, maybe He's Jesus, maybe He's the Messiah, maybe He's not. Well, I'll wait until everybody sorts it out and then I'll decide. Listen. True Christians walk a narrow path, and most of the time walk a narrow path alone. If you are going to wait until you can be on the side of the majority, you're going to be waiting a very long time. Christians have always been the weird, peculiar, persecuted minority. That is what we have always been. And so often within churches, people sit there and they go, well, I'll just wait and see what so-and-so says about this. Why not study the Word of God for yourself? You can read. You have it in your own language. You have commentaries in your own language. Read the Word of God for yourself. If you're waiting for two opposing sides to agree, you're going to be waiting forever. You do realize it's only logical that if there is one lie, that means there has to be an infinite number of, or if there's one truth, there's an infinite number of lies. And for every truth, there is a corresponding lie. For every good, there's a corresponding evil. And that's the way it is. And the way the devil stops people from following the truth is he puts so many lies out there for them to choose from that they throw up their hands and never even bother to study. Do not be like the people in this passage who go back and forth and listen to others' people's opinion. Lay aside what others say, lay aside what preachers and teachers and books and commentaries say, and study the Word of God for yourself. Be a Berean. Be a Berean. Open the Bible and read it for yourself. Which brings me to the next point in this. And that is, have you noticed in this passage of Scripture, the people who reject Jesus are the people who know the Bible the best and are the most religious? That should scare you. That should scare you because you're sitting in church right now with a Bible in your hand. And throughout all of Scripture, the people who rejected God the most were the religious Bible thumpers. Jesus even said this, did He not? Didn't He say there was all kinds of widows in the land of Israel when Elijah the prophet was there, yet He didn't go to any of them. He went to Zarephath, the widow there. Why? Because all the widows in Israel had rejected Elijah. And He said that there were many, many lepers in the days of Naaman, the Syrian. There are many, many lepers in Israel, but only one was healed, and that was the Syrian. You remember what happened when Jesus said this? They tried to stone Him, proving His point. Many times the people who reject God the most are the people who are in the highest positions of authority within the church. And this is a fact. If you study every evangelical denomination in our country, you will find the reason they are going sideways is not the person in the pew. It's the leadership of the denomination. Okay, you can look at Baptists. We'll come to Baptists in a minute, but you look at the Methodist. Every single one of my grandparents was a Methodist. Okay? Lydia's grandparents, two of her three living grandparents, are Methodist. Most Methodists, if you were to go around here, are God-fearing Christian people. What is the problem with the Methodist denomination? Why are they embracing homosexual marriage and homosexual clergy and women pastors? Why? It is not the person in the pew. It's the person with the degree who's in the pulpit. It's the person who rises to be a regional director or a bishop and all the titles. You study the Lutheran denomination. You study the Presbyterian denominations. You study the Episcopals and the Anglicans. Every single one of them gone the same way. You study the Southern Baptist Convention. It did the exact same thing. You go back in the 60s and 70s and your average Southern Baptist loved Jesus and believed the Word of God. And their son would be called in the ministry and they'd send him off to seminary and they'd be taught by a guy with a PhD that Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, that Jesus' death on the cross did nothing, it was nothing but a moral example and all the miracles are fairy tales. That's what they'd be taught. You see, you have to be careful because many times the people you look up to the most are wolves in sheep's clothing. Many times the people with the most degrees, the people with the highest position within the church are the people who do not accept Christ and reject His teachings. I encourage you, study the denominations. And you, what you'll find is that what the person in the pew believes is not what the person high up in the denomination teaches. Why? Because it's always been that way. Who is it that rejects Jesus here? The religious Bible thumpers. The people who know the Bible better than anyone else on the planet are the people who reject Jesus Christ. So, if we're here and we're not going to follow the majority, I would also encourage you, don't follow the popular preacher. Okay? Many times, the greatest false teacher is the one that has the whitest fleece. I mean, think about that for a minute. When we talk about false teachers, everybody wants to beat up on Joel Osteen. But can I tell you, many of the most famous false teachers are the ones that are great Baptist preachers on the radio. The ones who write all the books that we read. Why? Because they begin to move away from the Word of God and we don't look. We just see the white fleece and we go, that man's good. You know, I have heard one of the greatest false teachers of our day, Benny Hinn, blasting Joel Osteen for being a false teacher. And you know what? I saw a whole bunch of conservative Christians saying, "Oh, listen to Benny Hinn! Don't listen to Benny Hinn!" Okay, even a blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while. Okay, the truth is, you as a Christian, do not listen to men. Go to Jesus Christ for yourself. Why was the veil rent? Because you no longer have to go through a priest. Go to Jesus Christ yourself. Don't listen to a teacher. George Mueller, one of my heroes of the faith, I'm reading a biography of his to the kids right now. And there was a turning point in his life where he laid aside all Christian books and only read the Bible. You know, Christian books are great. Christian preachers are great. There is so many resources. And when you're a little baby, it's great to have somebody fix a meal for you and feed it to you. But there comes a time when you grow up and you turn off the computer and you close the commentaries and you read Jesus Christ for yourself. Why? Because they are fallible men. And even if they are not a wolf in sheep's clothing, they will make mistakes many times over. You do not listen to me. You do not listen to anyone else. Go read the Word of God for yourself. Go hear Jesus Christ for yourself. The third thing I see in this that is so true is people who are wrong do not want there to be an open public debate. Notice what Nicodemus says. Well, why don't we just bring him in and listen to him? He's wrong. We're not even going to talk about it. No room for discussion whatsoever. Jesus is wrong. Questions called. End of discussion. Let's vote on it. That's the way they did it. And that's the way lost people have done it for years. Have you ever stopped and examined things in our country? For example, just take some of the big issues in our country. Have you ever noticed, we name thousands of issues, let's pick a couple, how we have a healthcare law that was enacted without anybody reading it or knowing what was in it? Why would you not want to read it or know what's in it? Okay? That abortion is legal without there ever being a public discussion on when life begins. Somebody tell me when a major news network had a discussion about when life began. Our current president was asked about it, and he said, it's above my pay grade. Okay? Nancy Pelosi was asked about it just a couple weeks ago. She refused to answer the question. Why would we not want to know when life begins? Why would you not want to discuss that? Because you know you're wrong. I've told you the story before of a lady who was pro-choice. She was in favor of abortion. And she was, you know, very much in favor of abortion. And a friend of hers got pregnant and wanted to have an abortion. But she wanted to be someone who made an informed medical decision. So her friend, being pro-abortion, said, sure, I'm gonna go get all the information for you. And she could not find from a single abortion provider anything about the gestational age of a baby, what a picture of a baby, anything about abortion procedures, what type of procedures they were, what side effects, what risk. None of that. Guess where she found all that information? On pro-life websites. And she began to ask this question. Who is it that really wants a woman to make an informed decision? Who is it that's always opposed to doctors having to tell people before an abortion the risk? What's going to happen? Sonograms? Why would you not want people to make informed decisions? Because you know if they're informed, they will see the truth. Just the way it is. When was the last time there was an open debate on homosexuality on this one issue? Is homosexuality self-constructive or self-destructive behavior? It's never been debated. It's never been questioned. Okay? That's never been asked. We debate on whether you can give civil rights to people for homosexual activity, but we've never asked, is this destructive to the individual who's participating in it? We don't ask that question. That's never been discussed. Why? Because the overwhelming evidence shows it is self-destructive behavior. How many of you have ever had a discussion with someone and they say, well, you know, so-and-so is wrong. You won't believe what so-and-so did. And you said, why won't you go talk to them about it? Oh, you know why they won't go talk to them about it? Because they're wrong. This is really deep. If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to hide. Right? And if you don't want to walk in the light, it's because you have something to hide. If you have truth on your side, why do you care? If you have facts and evidence and truth, why would you be scared to present that before the world? If the truth is on your side, why are you lurking in the darkness? Because you're wrong. If the Pharisees have the Word of God on their side, why are they scared of Jesus? Why do they eventually go and arrest him under cover of darkness? Try him under cover of darkness. And when daylight finally hits and Pilate asks him, what crime has he done? Their answer is, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have given him to you. Okay, that's like a little kid argument. Okay, why did you hit him? Well, if it was wrong, I wouldn't have hit him. But the reason I hit him was because it was right. Okay, that's the way it is. But you notice here what they do. They completely, totally, blatantly lay aside the Word of God because they're trying to keep the Word of God. Well, the reason we're not going to hear Jesus out is because we know he's wrong. We won't keep the Bible so we can keep the Bible. Those are logical contradictions. And the reason they do not want to have an open debate is because they're wrong. Which brings me to the last point, and this is the main point of this whole passage of Scripture. You know the one thing that the people who believe in Jesus in this passage of Scripture, the people who don't believe in Jesus in this passage of Scripture, the soldiers, the Pharisees, and Nicodemus all have in common? They all agree, no prophet comes from Galilee. That's what they all agree on. Is it not? That's what it says, isn't it? Every single one of them agrees. And I want you to notice what that does. It silences Nicodemus. Nicodemus had Scripture on his side, and then they brought up Scripture. And he was quiet. It causes some people who believe that Jesus is the Messiah to begin to doubt. Maybe he's not the Messiah. And it causes people who reject Jesus to be hardened in their rejection because now they have a biblical reason to reject Jesus. You know the saddest part of this whole passage of Scripture? Okay, just humor me real quick. Okay, let's pretend we're like 6-year-olds, okay? And we just know the books of the Bible, and let's time it, okay? Let's do real quick time. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Let's look how hard this is, okay? Isaiah chapter 9. Okay, and let's turn real slow. Take your time. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9. Now let's read verses 1 and 2 really, really slowly. Okay, there's a point to this. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea. Now, we don't have to really be very, very smart to say what he's talking about here is a time of darkness in the land of Israel. Okay, I think we can all agree with that. You don't have to have a fourth grade education to understand that. Now keep reading. Beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Into this darkness, light is going to come. Where is the light going to shine first? Galilee. Took us a minute and 15 seconds. Did you catch that? Everyone, the people who believed in Jesus and the people who rejected Jesus, all agreed the Bible said nothing about the prophet coming from Galilee, and every single one of them was ignorant of Scripture. Nicodemus included. And a 6-year-old in a minute and 15 seconds can end the whole argument. Do you see how ignorance of one verse of Scripture sent people to hell? And one verse of Scripture that people were ignorant of caused believers in Jesus Christ to doubt who Jesus Christ was. And one man trying to share the truth of God's Word with lost men was silenced because he was ignorant of one verse of Scripture. I want you to think, let that sink in for a minute. One teeny tiny little phrase in Scripture. And look at how much damage was done because they were ignorant of one little passage of Scripture. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of y'all, as we began to look at John 7, went, "Ooh, I know Jesus is the Messiah, but how does that work? If no prophet comes from Galilee, how?" And you know that Jesus is the truth, but even me, as I was studying this before I looked up Isaiah 9, I was sitting there going, there's this little catch and that little hesitation in your spirit going, I know Jesus is the Messiah, but how do you get past this biblical argument? Well, you actually just study the Bible and realize it's not a biblical argument. It's how you do it. But how many Christians are led to doubt their standing before God because they are ignorant of the Word of God? How many times have you known what God wanted you to do and you began to press forward and somebody brought up a criticism in a Bible verse and it really stopped you in your tracks and you went, oh, because you were not completely studied up on the Word of God? How many times have you tried to share the gospel like Nicodemus? And someone said, well, what about this passage of scripture? And you went, ooh, and that was the end of this discussion. How many times have you not shared the gospel with someone because you were scared that they would do that? That is one of people's greatest fears, is that I'm going to share the gospel with someone, and as I share the gospel with them, they're going to bring up a question that I can't answer. It happened to Nicodemus, did it not? You see, this is why what Dan read this morning is so important. You need to not just read, not just study, but you need to diligently apply yourself to the Word of God, because one phrase of Scripture can mean the difference between people being saved and people being lost, from people being assured of their salvation and them doubting their salvation. One of the most interesting, I mentioned this in Sunday school, one of the most interesting things to me is when the devil comes to Jesus, you know what he comes doing? Quoting Scripture. How many of y'all have ever had that voice in your head and you go, is that of God or is it not? It sounds so biblical. It sounds so true, but it just, I don't know. Is that of God or is that not of God? If you study Scripture, you will know. Because you know, Jesus is there, and remember, the devil takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and says, throw yourself off because he's given his angels charge concerning you. They will lift you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. And then he stops quoting the passage of Scripture because the very next verse says, and you will trample the snake under your feet. How many of us, if the devil came to us and quoted that verse, would have fallen to his temptation and not have known the rest of Scripture? How many times have we made wrong decisions because we know what the Bible says when we really don't? Notice Nicodemus knew the Bible said nothing about Jesus coming from Galilee. The Pharisees knew it. All the people knew it. The soldiers knew it. But they were wrong. They were wrong. You need to study Scripture. You need to go to Jesus Christ Himself. Don't listen to a man. Don't listen to anyone else. Go to Jesus Christ for yourself. Read the Word of God for yourself and read the whole Word of God. Study to show yourself approved. Why? Because there may come a day when you're next in line and your favorite preacher in front of you hears, depart from me, I never knew you. And you're next. What are you going to stand on then? You know, throughout my walk with the Lord, I have found that my greatest struggles sometimes are with Scripture, taken out of context, misapplied. Because when I sin, many times there's a little voice in my head that quotes Scripture after Scripture after Scripture, and they're never Scriptures of comfort, never Scriptures concerning forgiveness, never Scriptures concerning what Jesus Christ has done. And I go, maybe I'm lost. Maybe I'm not right with God. And then many times I'll begin to look up that passage of Scripture and I'll read the whole thing and went, wait a minute, somebody lied to me. Listen. The Pharisees believed they were right with God because they knew the Bible so well. And you believe you're right with God because you know the Bible so well? Maybe you need to go back and read it again. Isn't that what Jesus said in John? I believe it's John 5. Go back and search the Scriptures because you think you're right with God and you're not. You see, you may be here as a Christian. You may truly be born again, but truly doubt you're standing before God. And you know why you doubt it? Because you're ignorant of Scripture. And if you were to study the Word of God, you would find peace and comfort for your doubts. You would find your doubts dispelled by the light of God's Word. You would find the darkness would lift by the truth. But you know why we carry so much baggage, so much pain? Because we're ignorant. We're waiting to follow the crowd. We're waiting to follow a religious leader. And we're not going to Jesus Christ Himself. We're not studying the Word of God for ourselves. Yeah, I want to encourage you. Turn to Psalm 119. I want to encourage you. Don't teach your children what to believe. teach them why they are to believe it. Show them the Word of God. When your children ask, we're in Psalm 119, we'll be in verses 99 and 100. When your children ask you a question, don't just give them an answer. Give them a Bible passage to read. You know, this past week, maybe it was last week, my weeks went together because of the baby. We had been studying about the Reformation and Martin Luther, and Michael came up to me and he said, "Dad, why did the Reformers believe that the Roman Catholic Church was the Antichrist?" I said, "Well, Michael, turn to Revelation 17 and remember that Rome is a city on seven hills. And you read it and you come back and tell me why." Why? Because I don't want to feed him a lie. I want him to read the Word of God for himself. When your children ask you, "Dad, why don't we do this?" Can you open and say, "Son, go read Ephesians 2 and you come back and tell me why we don't do that." You need to teach your children and your grandchildren, because the reason we have lost so many children and grandchildren is we have told them what to think and never told them why and never pointed to the Word of God. We have never taught them to open the Bible for themselves. We say, "This is the way things are supposed to be," and we never show them why. That's why every change in our church, what have I done? I've given you scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. I will preach on it. I will give you handout with scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. Why? Because I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow the shepherd. I want you to follow Jesus Christ and His Word. Notice this. Little background of Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is how Jews taught their children to read. We do, you know, A is for apple, B is for ball, C is for cat. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And if you look, each one of these eight verse sections starts with a different letter. In English, it doesn't make any sense, but in Hebrew, it's like every single one of the verses would start with the letter A. Every single one of the next eight verses would start with the letter B, so forth and so on. And this is how they taught their children to read. The children would basically memorize this passage of Scripture. Notice the first part of Psalm 119, verse 99. Okay, how old are you when you learn to read? 4, 5, maybe 6 at the latest? Okay, this is what they're teaching four-year-olds. "I have more understanding than all my teachers." That's what they teach four-year-olds to memorize. "I know more than my teacher." Who in their right mind teaches a four-year-old to say that? Read verse 100. "I understand more than the ancients." Who teaches a four-year-old to say, "I know more than my parents and grandparents do"? Who teaches a four-year-old or a five-year-old to say that? A very wise parent. Read the rest of it. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." They taught their children before they could even read. If you study the Word of God, you will know more than every one of your teachers. If you know the Word of God and you meditate on the Word in God day and night, you will know more than any religious leader who tries to lead you astray. You will know more than the Pharisees. Think about it. How old, how many of your children could read Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2, and prove the Pharisees wrong in John 7? How old do they have to be? 5? 6? Isn't this passage true? That if your child will learn Scripture, they will know more than their teachers? Notice next, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." They said, you will do better than your parents and your grandparents ever did if you will read the Word of God and keep it. Wise parents teach their children like this. You want to be smarter than your dad someday? Then you study the Word of God and you do what it says. I don't know about you, but I want my children to far surpass me. I want my children to know at 13 what I know at 30. And the only way I'm going to do that is if I tell them, "Son, go read it for yourself. Memorize it. Study it. Learn it." And I, as a dad, have to lead by example. I have to be someone who studies the Word of God and can give a scripture reference when they say, "Dad, what is wrong with this? Dad, why don't we do this as a family? Dad, everybody else does this as a family." When they come and say, "Grandma, why do you go to that church?" Can you show them? "Granddad, why do you believe in that fairy tale called the Bible?" Can you show them? Can you teach them? You see, this is the whole point here, is that we live in John 7. Where some religious person says, you know, the Bible says nothing about it. And you're like, yeah, that's right. Because we are ignorant of what the Bible actually says. And because of this, our peace is lost. And for many, their salvation is lost. Because the thief comes, the wolf comes, and he says, you know, that's not what the Bible says. And people go, oh, he's a preacher. We better listen. Don't listen to man. Study the Word of God. Paul commended the Bereans because when he came to them with the Word of God, what did they do? They searched the Scriptures to see if what he said was biblical. I love what Paul told the Corinthian church. He said, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. Why? Because he didn't want our faith to stand. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, in man's wisdom, but in the power of God. You know, in just a moment, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. And we're going to be remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. Can you open the Word of God and show where he actually did that? Or is this something that you've just heard in church your whole life? Well, that's what my grandparents told me. It's what my parents told me. Remember, many of the people you looked up to are wrong. And if you are going to surpass them, you need to have your nose in this book day and night. You need to be studying the Word of God. There are people here who may partake of the Lord's Supper who have no business partaking of the Lord's Supper. You know why? Because they're lost. You know why they don't know that? Because they don't know the Word of God. And there are people here who are born again, who have very weak and tender consciences, who have been deceived by the lies told by preachers and devils. Sometimes preachers and devils can be the same people. They will not partake of the Lord's Supper because they are ignorant of the comfort that they would find in Scripture if they would read it. There are people who are lost. They could be saved if they would study Scripture for themselves. And there are people who are saved who could do so much more for the kingdom if they would study Scripture for themselves. You have family members, children, grandchildren, brothers and sisters that are lost. And the reason you won't share the gospel with them, according to most Christians, is because they'll ask a question I don't know the answer to. Then find the answers. Study to show yourself approved. Apply yourself diligently, just as Dan was saying. Put your nose in the book. Study it. See how it applies. So that when you stand as Nicodemus does, and you begin to share the gospel, and they say, Jesus came from Galilee, that's not in the Bible. You can say, really? Well, why don't we turn to Isaiah 9 and actually read what the Bible has to say? Okay? That is the man or the woman that on that great day will stand approved before God. Amen.